2019. So, Brother Tracy, you preach with us tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Before I got saved, I always used to say around this time, "Is boy, this next year is going to be a great year." Yeah. It got worse. Every year got worse. I always thought it'd get better. It didn't. I texted one of my old buddies over Christmas and said, "Merry Christmas." And he said something to the effect, "Well, Merry Christmas to you and all yours. And we're looking forward to the next year. It's going to be a great one." I think that this time of year is a great year because it's right after Christmas, but it also could be a bad year, a bad time of year for a lot of people. I know that Christmas didn't mean too much to me when I was addicted to alcohol and drugs. I didn't like Christmas time. So people could look back at this time in the year that's passed and look at all their failures, what they wanted to do and never did. People could look back at this time of year and look at the victories they had. People could look back at the year that has gone by and say, "Well, I didn't do much this year, but next year is going to be great. It's going to be different." A lot of people make New Year's resolutions that they never intend to keep. "I'm going to lose weight as soon as I get through eating all this food." And the problem is they may go on a diet and lose a little bit of weight, but then they gain the weight that they lost back and then some more because they started eating more because they couldn't take the thought of not eating. Everybody wants to get join a gym and get in shape. And if I started looking out for gyms in the area, and I've never joined a gym in my life. And the thought of getting in shape seems pretty good. And I got my weights out the other day and I started lifting them and I put them down really quick. But each and every one of us would like to have success in this new year. We would like to have great things happen. I look back at this last year, a year ago today, and the Lord has blessed us financially. The other day, Saturday, I got in the new car and I drove up to Geneva and I went to Walmart and I bought some stuff and I drove to McDonald's and I got out and I ate McDonald's and I got back in that new car and, you know, I was really proud of that new car even though it's got a bow tie on it and not a blue circle. But it's really nice to have that new car even though it ain't brand new. It's new to us. And it was nice. And looking back a year ago, it's easy to say that financially we were better off. But what about spiritually? Are we better off spiritually than we were a year ago? The Bible says that we're supposed to continually conform to the image of His Son. And we're continually to grow. But the problem with us is, as fleshly creatures, is we like to not grow. We like to stay where we are. We like not doing anything new, not going out. But I want to talk to you about relationship. I want to talk to you about fellowship. And I want to talk about lordship tonight. Now, relationship, you have to have a relationship. The Bible says in John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Why does that make people mad? We had one of the guys come. I had one of the guys that was there for the village for 3 years, and he left, not in good terms, and he came back. And I was doing a devo in the hall, and he was in there, and I said that, and he got mad at me. And I said, "Can I tell you something? If I was sitting here in this room, and you was giving the same devo, and you said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," I would have said, "Amen." I want to know what of that makes you mad. Do you think I'm judging you? Do you think I'm saying that you're not saved? What I'm telling everybody in this room is what God said. And that shouldn't make you mad unless you know that you need to be born again. All of us know that in John 1:8, it says, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You know, I can't tell you how many times that I've done a devo like that or heard somebody preach this message of John 1:8 and Psalms 1. And then we go out and we don't meditate. Let's go to Psalms 1. It says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." We pray that we prosper in this new year, that we pray that all good things happen to us, that nothing happens bad to us. But do we really meditate on God's Word every day? Every night? I can tell y'all very honestly that I don't meditate too much. If I start meditating, I tend to close my eyes and go to sleep. But do we think about God's Word every day? Do we think about God every day? It's been kind of hectic here lately. Roaming to and fro. Doing job after job of different jobs. And just running around could wear you out. It's really easy to get home from work and not want to pick up the Bible. It's very easy to just want to sit in a recliner and just relax. So you must have a relationship before you have fellowship. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" I always told my guys that that they needed to pray for each other. It's real hard to sit at a table and eat food when you're looking across somebody at the table that somebody you hate, that you really want to fight. I had one guy in the hallway, man, that's all he wanted to do was fight, and his roommate was older than he was, and he really just didn't like his roommate. And I didn't know it at the time, but they really almost got in confrontation just about every night. And finally I had to break them up. I had to move them apart. I really don't think that that one person that was wanting to fight all the time was saved. In fact, I know he wasn't. I really don't think he was praying for the other roommate. But I want to tell you something. If you say you have a relationship with Christ and you have fellowship with Him, then I want to tell you something. You're agreed on some things. You're walking with God. You're talking with God. And you're building a relationship, and that's called fellowship. I always think my favorite song before getting saved was "Blessed Assurance." Now, why? It's because I like the tune. I'd be in church when I was a kid, and they'd sing that, and I just loved it because of the tune. Because, see, I didn't have "Blessed Assurance." Jesus wasn't mine. But after I got saved, my favorite song turned "In the Garden." I've told y'all many times that after I'd go to the farm, get everything situated, get everybody working, and I'd go up on the hill. And there I would talk and walk with God. Especially when we had 5 acres of sweet corn. That was an interesting walk. And I would get back from walking, and they would be hungry, wanting to go eat. And I was full of sweet corn, and I didn't want to go anywhere. It was an awesome walk, walking on that hill and talking with God. You know, the Bible talks about the veil being rent in two when Jesus was on the cross. And then in the Bible it says that we might come boldly to the throne of grace. And God says, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. and knock it shall be opened. You know that we try in our own means to get everything we want in life, and when it fails, then we call on God and say, God, I need your help. When we should be falling on our knees and asking God to help us in the things we want. I pray that we get that Jeep fixed, and God knows we had to fix it time after time. And I prayed that we get a new car. And God answered that prayer. But more than that, I have prayed earnestly that Brother Garraway would get healed. You know? This morning, I said, Lord, you know what's best in each and every one of our lives. You know what? If Brother Garraway could come back right now, he wouldn't. You know what? Now, I'm sure that his family would like him back. But he's, like his wife said, he's in the arms of Jesus right now. He's having Jesus show him through the garden up there. So, if we're going to have a relationship, we're going to have fellowship. Excuse me. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I want to tell you something. If you're having fellowship with Jesus, and him and his Father and the Holy Spirit are living with you, you're probably doing what he wants you to do. You see, I think there's a lot of Christians that said a prayer and they got saved, but they didn't do anything after that. They didn't build that relationship. They didn't have fellowship with Jesus. And this morning we talked about worldly Christians. I believe that's a worldly Christian that does not have fellowship with God. That they come to the altar, they said a prayer, but then they hang around the wrong crowd, they don't read their Bible, they don't pray, and they do what the world wants them to do. You see, my Bible says, sanctify them through thy word.
Amen.
And if you're not putting the truth in and getting the lies out, you're still believing the lies. The greatest thing that ever happened to me after getting saved was I fell in love with this book. I fell in love with the person who saved me. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I never will forget in Emmanuel Baptist Church, somewhere in New Jersey, and they started singing, I'm a friend of God. And I thought to myself, I'm a friend of God. Isn't that awesome? I'm a friend of God. You know, if you're saved, you're a friend of God. You know, there's a lot of people that said a prayer that are not God's friend. You know why? Because they don't have fellowship with Him. They don't do the things He wants them to do. You see, we got to have a relationship and we got to have fellowship. But then the third one and the hard one is lordship. We all know in Acts 9 that Saul was going to persecute Christians in Damascus, and a big light fell on him on the way. And in Acts 9:6, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? You know, I wish that the minute we get saved, that how miraculously He saves us, that He puts in us that we're His children, but that He would be our Lord right then and there. That we would surrender to Him and He would tell us what to do and we would do it. But it's not that way. But I want to tell you something. Saul, the minute he got saved, submitted to be whatever God wanted him to be. In verse 15 of Acts 9, God's talking to Ananias. Ananias says, hey, this guy, he persecutes Christians. In verse 15, God says, but the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. In Acts 26, we see that Paul is before King Agrippa, and he goes through his salvation testimony. Let's turn to Acts 26, please. Now he was before Felix, he's before Festus, now he's before Agrippa. And in verse 12 of chapter 26 of Acts, he says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." You know, King Agrippa says, in verse 28, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You know what? Paul said, "You know what? God told me to tell you. God told me to witness to you. God told me to do." You know, I would know that people are fixing to leave, they're not saved, and it would hurt me knowing that they're leaving unsaved. You spend a year with somebody and you get to know them, and you know they're leaving, and you know they're lost, and you know what God has for them, and you know what they're not going to have when they leave. That they might, next time they use drugs, they might OD and die, and I had several do it. And it breaks your heart, but you know what? I can stand before them at the great white throne of judgment and say, "I told you." If they do die and go to hell. And the ones that are still alive, they still have a chance, because a lot of them were just as hard-headed as I was when I was their age. Talking about getting saved at 30. I can't tell you how many of my cousins got saved at 40. I got saved at 40. Praise God. He is not slack. You know, he is not slack. When he promised something, he means it. And he knows that maybe if I let them get down in this pit a little bit more, then they'll look up for me. There's a lot of things that hold us back from lordship. We may have relationship and we may have fellowship with him, but there's a lot of things happening in each and every one of our lives that keep us from lordship. In Matthew 6:24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." I was thinking, we're better off financially, but how about spiritually? Are we better off spiritually than we were a year ago? Are we closer to God than we were a year ago? You know, there's a lot of running around, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of all this other stuff, there's a lot of things in our lives. But is Jesus still in our life? Do we still have fellowship? Is he still calling the shots? If you'll turn to John 15, please. We all know this. It says, "I am the true vine, and the Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I want to hold it right there and say that there's a lot of people, when they pray a prayer, ask Jesus into their life. But when I got saved, I asked God to take my life. You see, that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to do exactly what the Apostle Paul did. Lord, what will Thou have me do? What do You want me to do? You see, I was God in my life for 40 years. I did what I wanted when I wanted to, as much as possibly I could. Meaning that if I wanted to go to work, I went to work. If I didn't want to go to work, I didn't go to work. If I wanted to go over here, if I went over there. You see, I was God of my life. Now I get saved, but guess what? I'm still God of my life. My sins are forgiven. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know any of this book. And I still want to run my life. Now, I don't want to do the things I used to. And praise the Lord that He took so many of the things away from me just like that. That I knew that I never wanted to go back to there. But can I tell you something? There's a lot of things I still need to change. There's a lot of things I still needed to learn. So I had a relationship, but I still didn't know who I had a relationship with other than Jesus. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I knew that He was God's Son. He came to this earth. He died on the cross. He rose after the third day. And He just saved me. But when I fell in love with this book, I started reading and I understood. I started learning about Jesus. And the more I prayed, the more I read, the greater the fellowship was. Come to the day that He told me to quit my job. I believe that that was kind of a lordship day for me. Tracy, quit your job. Do you love me? Yay, Lord, you know I love you. Quit your job. Lord, I love my job. Tracy, yay, Lord, do you love me? Quit your job. That was a day of lordship for me. Can I tell you, the very next day I grabbed hold of the wheel and I started driving again. You see, Jesus wants to live His life through us. I think one of the reasons I was so... what's the word I'm using? Trying to use. I saw Brother Garraway's love for the Lord. And all he wanted to do was go tell somebody about Jesus. All he wanted to do was win somebody else to Christ. And as you read the things that he did, that he won one of his doctors to the Lord. And all these things, even in the trials of his life, even looking death in the face, he was still trying to win people to Jesus. Did you know that the Bible says that Enoch pleased God so much that He translated him? And maybe God said, you know what? I want to talk to you. Come on up here. Now, we looked at it as bad, but for two people right now, that's really good. One of them is Jesus and one of them is Brother Garraway. You see, it's awesome to be around somebody that loves the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength. It's great to be around people like that because you can see God's love through them. Does other people see God's love through us? Is God abiding in us? Are we abiding in Him? Is Jesus living His life through us? Or are we still saying, this is my life, I'm going to do what I want to do? You see, that lordship, unlike salvation, once saved, always saved, that lordship is every day of our life. We have to get up every morning and say, Lord, what will Thou have me do? And that may be at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever time that is. But then the next hour we have to say, Lord, what will I have me do? Because it's so easy for us who've been God of our lives to grab hold of the wheel. Even when we're Christians, we could still be God of our life. When God's supposed to be living His life through us. Verse 5, let's go, I'm reading 4 again. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now, for a whole year, maybe a little over a year, that was the theme of Freedom Village. Without him, you could do nothing. Now, I want to say that the verse says, without me, you can't bring any fruit. Because there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus who are doing something. But they're not bearing fruit. But, in the same token, if Jesus says die, you're dead. There's a song out there that says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. You know we can't breathe without him saying breathe? We can't exist unless God says we exist. For without me, you can do nothing. We know the Bible says with him we could do all things through him. What I'd like to ask you is, do you want to have a successful 2019? If you do, the Bible says that there's some things you need to do. One, you need to meditate on his word day and night. Not just on Sunday, not just on the morning, and then go to work and throughout the day not even think about God. Or maybe pick God up, right? Pastor Brothers used to say this all the time. You pick Jesus up right before you come into church, and you come into church with him, and all day Sunday you're with Jesus, and then you walk out of church, you pat him on the head and says, I'll see you next Sunday. And you go live your life the way you want to. That's a funny illustration. But can I tell you something? A lot of people do that. There's a verse in John 8. If you'll turn here, this is the last place we'll turn. There's a place in John 8 that I love. I was born 729. I wish it was John 729 that sent this, said this. But it's 829. And it says, this is Jesus speaking, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And I would get up every morning and I would say, Lord, I don't want to do anything that displeases you, and I pray that I do everything that pleases you today. You see, this guy just saved me. He took drugs away from me. He took alcohol. He took a lot of things away from me just like that. I fell in love with this guy. But can I tell you something? There's been a lot of days since then that God wasn't Lord of my life. There's been a lot of times when I didn't have great fellowship with Jesus because I was too busy doing other things. If we want to make this new year a great year, we could have all the things of this earth that it could buy, all the money that the world could give you, and not have a relationship and fellowship and lordship with Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. You will not be happy. Do you want to be blessed? Don't hang around the wrong crowd. You want to be blessed? Don't gripe and complain. You want to be blessed? Have fellowship with Jesus Christ. You need to find, and I need to find me a new garden, because I can't go up on that hill anymore. Now, if I drove up and asked Jonathan, Jonathan, I want to go up on the hill and talk to God, he'll say, go ahead. But I ain't there every day. Can I tell you something? We don't need a hill. We don't need to go up in the highest point around, which is nice to do because you can look down on God's creation. We need to spend more time on our knees. We need to spend more time in His book. Not just reading it, but applying it to our lives. You see, there's a lot of things that we can read and say, well, you know, I ain't going to do that. He's not your Lord. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me. He's not going to forsake me. He's not going to leave me alone. He's with me all the time. It says, for I do always those things that please Him. I wished that I did everything that pleased God all my life. But you know why? I'm a sinful man. Saved by grace. This is what I can do. I could get up and I could read this book. I could get on my knees and I could pray. And I could ask Him to help me with the things that displease Him. And I could say, Lord, what will you want me to do today? If I did those things every day, I would be real successful in what God wanted me to do. There's so much emphasis on the will of God in your life and what you should be doing for God. Can I tell you something? If you really want to please God, have a relationship with Him, fellowship with Him, and do what He tells you to do. That will bring more fruit in your life than anything else. Because see, if we have fellowship with Him, and we're walking with Him, and we're in agreement, you know what that is? That's not you getting God to agree with what you want to do. That's you agreeing with God what He wants you to do. The Bible says that if you have, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him. You see, without believing in Jesus, without being born again, you'll never do anything for Jesus Christ because you don't know Him. You can't give anything away that you don't have. But if we abide in Him and He in us, we could ask what we will. And He will give it to us. Isn't that awesome? The Bible says greater works that we will do greater works than He. If we have a relationship, we have fellowship, and He's our Lord. Isn't that awesome? You know what? All I wanted to do was die before I got saved. And now that I'm saved, all I want to do is not die. Isn't that strange? Do you know what? There's a lot of people out there in this world at this time of year, all they want to do is die. They have no hope. They have no dream. And they're without Christ. I don't know what it is about Geneva, but I love going up there for some reason. Amen. My new garden is going to be my bed. When I got saved, every morning when I got up, I would get on my knees and pray. Every night before going to bed, I'd get on my knees and pray. I had great fellowship. I was learning about the guy who saved me. And I was fellowshipping with him and asking him questions, and he was revealing the answers to those questions. You see, I don't need a hill. All I need is have a little time alone with the guy who saved me. And the guy who could answer anything that I could ask beyond my wildest dreams. You see, I want 2019 to be the best year of my life. It may be the last year of my life. So why not go out in a blaze of glory? Why not go out doing what God wants me to do instead of what doing what I want to do? I've done what I wanted to do all my life. It didn't get me very far. It got me to the point of me wanting to die. So, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you're not saved, you don't. I didn't say if you said a prayer. I said a prayer in 1987. Saying a prayer don't get you saved. Believing in your heart gets you saved. You have fellowship with Him. Do you really talk with God? Do you really read His book? Not just to say, hey, I read His book, but are you really reading it? And then, have you surrendered His will in your life? Mm-hmm. And trust me, that is an everyday deal. That's just not a one-time deal. Because any time that you don't want to do what He wants you to do, you can grab hold of the wheel and start driving your life again. That's not what God wants us to do. I want 2019 to be the best year of my life. Do you? Do you want it to be successful? Well, then you need to meditate on God's Word day and night. You need to put the truth in and get the lies out. You need to walk with Him and talk with Him along the way. Not just when things ain't working out for you, but along the way. And if you do that, you'd be surprised at the things that you don't have to go through. And you'll be surprised that if you're looking in His face, that the world doesn't have anything to offer to you. And if you surrender to Lordship, you will be fruitful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, Lord. I thank You so much for salvation. I thank You, Lord, that everything that we need is in this book. And Lord, if we would just read it and apply it to our lives, how great things You would do for us, and how great things You would do through us. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would surrender to Your will, that we would say, Lord, what will Thou have me do? Instead of, God, this is what I want You to do. And if You don't do it, I'm going to be really mad. I pray, Lord, that we would keep the Garraways in prayer. Lord, that You would be with that family and strengthen and comfort them. And Lord, I pray that You bless this church, the members and their families, Lord, in this new year, that it would be a great year, and that we would bear fruit. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some things here tonight that we need to go ahead and just put in practice in our lives, in prayer, meditation, and the things we're going to do in 2019. We got one day left to 2018. It'd be good to practice a little bit what we're going to do and see if we can't get some of those as habits in our life. Let's just take a couple minutes here. I'll go ahead and put an invitation song on our piano, and then let's go ahead and just take some time. Pray about things we just heard. Pray about our coming year. And if you want to come to an altar, come to an altar. Pray there in your seat or kneel there in your seat. Let's just go ahead and have some time of invitation after that message. Thank you, Father.
know that you could heal any of them, even in death, Lord. That would be a healing. We do thank you for reaching the blanket and the rain and for the bruises, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you would continue to guide and direct our lives there as well. We just ask all this in your name.
Father, pray for Richard Earl Baptist Church. We thank you for it. Pray again that you have your way in your way on this assembly of believers and this new year. And Father, that you touch, we'll give you all the praise in the name of Christ. And this new year, Father, that you begin to raise up this church and cause it to grow, cause it to baptismal waters, release to her. Father, that we can hear from heaven. We'll praise you now in the name of Christ. Amen.